Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. My pleasure, as always. You're going to be glad you did. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Joe Knight is with us, ladies and gentlemen. Joe's back. Joe is co-owner and senior consultant with Business Literacy Institute. He's also the co-author, along with Karen Berman, of the book Financial Intelligence for Entrepreneurs, which is something you and I really need to know more about. And he's our good friend, a member of our Brain Trust. Joe, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jim.
It's good to have you here. It's good to have you back. Joe, I've been saying for a long time that the primary reason why if I could get small business owners to understand the difference between cash and profit, if I could get them just to create a 12-month cash flow statement, just a simple Excel cash flow statement. If I could get them to do those two things, to take an hour to understand the difference between profit and cash, and an hour to develop and understand that spreadsheet I was talking about, that cash flow model I was talking about for 12 months, I could cut business failures in half. What do you think?
I think that's absolutely true. You know, what's interesting, Jim, is in this environment where we are now, cash flow isn't just important for small businesses. It's become critical for every business.
I've been saying that cash is no longer king, it's the emperor now.
Yeah. We've talked about that before. And you know, one thing I've noticed that's very interesting is if you go to all the biggest companies in the world now, and I train a lot of them and do financial intelligence training, you'll find that they talk about free cash flow and cash measures, whereas if you go back 5 or 6 years, it was all about EBITDA and some
right.
kind of profit measure.
Earnings before interest and taxes, which is a profit situation.
Yeah, right? it's a profit number, and that used to be the big number on Wall Street. But now everybody's looking at cash flow, and I have to tell you, at the beginning of the year, I was teaching a class at GE, and there was a situation when the commercial paper market went down where GE was worried about having enough cash to make payroll.
Wow!
If that isn't stunning,
it is stunning.
You know, Wall Street realized that. You know, no matter how big you are, if you have cash, it doesn't matter how you're cooking the books or what kind of stories you're making up on your income statement. If you have cash, you're going to survive.
A lot of small businesses have operated for years, maybe for decades, without being profitable. But you can only make it anywhere from 3 days to 10 days without cash.
Yeah, that's pretty much true.
Depending on how close you are to payroll.
Exactly. Yeah, well, that was the point I was going to make, is owning a small business myself and dealing with that, when you're struggling in a small business and you ponder your death, it's always about, do I have enough money to pay my people? Because if you don't pay your people, they all go home.
Right.
And that's the end of your business.
Well, that's the cardinal sin of being a business owner, is not making payroll.
Absolutely.
I mean, that is a standard beyond which you don't breach.
Oh, absolutely. You have a commitment to your people. Nothing could be more disingenuous or a bigger problem if you have people who spend a couple of weeks working for you, and at the end of that period, you don't have any money for them.
And you know, Joe, this is one of the things that I've tell people about and that a lot of people don't understand or believe, maybe sometimes, if they're not in small business. You know, I saw that Feinberg, the Paysar, is approving, you know, $6 million a year for this CEO and $9 million for that CEO. Of course, those companies laid off thousands of people, and those millions of people who've been laid off by big companies ripple down to causing small business owners to lay people off. We got all these unemployed people, but what a lot of people don't realize, Joe, and you know this, the first person to get laid off in 99 out of 100 small businesses is the owner. Now, that doesn't mean that the owner went home and quit working. It just means that he laid himself off from a payroll standpoint, or herself from a payroll standpoint. Most of the small business owners I know, Joe, as you know too, before they lay anybody off, they cut their own pay.
Oh, yeah, I know. You probably do too, but I know numerous examples of that this last year with the economy down, where the owner's not taking any pay and trying to keep things going and surviving.
Yep.
And that's part of small business. is.
They don't know anything about that. They don't know anything about that on Wall Street, though, do they?
No, they don't. They don't need a Payzar in the small business world. We just need to have enough cash to make payroll, and often that means the owner doesn't get to take any money.
So how do we do a better job? You know, one of the things that I'm excited about a little bit, you know, I'm trying to find the silver linings in this thing we're going through right now, Joe. And I'm thinking, okay, what are some good things that could come out of this? Well, one thing, if you survive what we've gone through, and as you know, Joe, we were talking about this the last time you were on the show. You know, I set the goal for 2009 for everybody. I said, okay, our minimum goal is to open our doors January 1, 2010. And it looks like we may make that. So some of us will, some won't. But if you survive to accomplish that goal, you're going to be you should be a better operator than you were before. What do you think?
Absolutely. I think anytime you have a downturn in the economy and you figure out a way to fight through it and you get creative, you become a stronger business. And I guess that doesn't kill you, makes you stronger.
Right.
I think that's the kind of year we're all looking at in our businesses.
How do we take what we've learned by instinct and by just gut survival? How do we take that and put a little more of a silk purse on it? How do we make it a little more elegant, Joe? Talk to us about some of the things you do to help make this a little more elegant, so we can be not just instinctive survivors, but sophisticated survivors.
Well, I'm a big believer in tracking and trying to get a handle on your financial situation on a weekly basis in a small business, and coming up with metrics and key numbers. And some of those numbers and metrics involve profitability, and some of them involve cash flow. Because if you're not profitable and if you're not generating cash in a business, your death is inevitable. It's going to happen. The purpose for business to exist is to make money, and that means cash and profit.
Right.
So I think, first of all, every business should figure out a metric where they can track profit weekly if it's possible. If that's not possible, at least monthly.
And when you're saying profit, that weekly thing, you're really talking about gross profit, not net profit, aren't you?
I'm talking about gross profit and operating profit.
Yeah, the kind of profit that pays the bills.
Absolutely, that's exactly what I'm talking
about. Bottom line profit's important, but this weekly thing, you're not talking about the bottom line profit, are you?
No, not after interest and taxes and everything else. I'm talking about making sure you have enough gross profit in your business to pay for all the overhead and everything else.
Right. But you got to merge the two, folks. You got to merge. The profit number is important, but profit is an accounting term. And your vendors don't take accounting. They take cash. And we're going to talk to Joe to talk to us about that. And he's got a new tool he wants to tell you about. When we come back, we're going to introduce you to some new resources that he's going to make available to you right after these messages. 20 after, I'm Jim Blassingame. Joe Knight is our guest. Stay with us. We're back. It's 23 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. I'm Jim Blassingame. You're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and that's my website, smallbusinessadvocate.com. Hope you'll check it out when you get a chance. Use it to your advantage. We built it so you can have the maximum opportunity to be successful, including lots of information there on topics that Joe Knight and I are talking about right now, financial intelligence and financial sophistication. And when I say sophistication, folks, I'm not talking about, you know, prohibitively, you know, brainiac CPA stuff. I'm talking about just business management financial intelligence, the kind of stuff that you've got to have. You must be able to function as a business manager with the financial documents, the financial reports, accurate and timely. You must be able to do that or you will fail. You will fail. Right, Joe?
Absolutely.
The book is called Financial Intelligence for Entrepreneurs. Joe Knight, Karen Berman are the authors. Joe, talk to us about that.
Well, the first thing that comes to my mind when you talk about that is dealing with your bankers. And any small business that's going to grow to any size is going to, at some point, need some kind of debt financing. And if you're not on top of your numbers and if you can't present your business financially in a very rational way, you have no chance of raising money, especially in this environment. A very difficult environment for small business owners to get loans with the bank credit freeze that still exists today, even though we're battling it and we're trying to get the liquidity in the banks.
Well, Even the independent community banks, which actually are loaning money, even their standards have been raised. They've had to be raised. Regulators have raised them. And so even though they want to loan you money, they're asking more questions. You've got to be able to answer those questions.
Right, and you've got to be able to prove that you understand your trends, financially how you're doing, your seasonality. All these kinds of things have to be well understood and well documented. If you don't do that, then you're going to be locked up. You won't be able to grow your business like
right.
you should. And frankly, if we're going to create jobs in this country right now, it's going to be us small business people.
That's exactly right, because the big businesses are going to wait, because what they're going to do, they're going to outsource they're going to hold off as long as they can. They're going to do overtime as long as they can. They're going to outsource. Not only overseas, there's going to be a lot of overseas outsourcing as a result of this, but also they're going to outsource to small businesses.
Absolutely.
Do a lot of this work. Joe, you've got a new resource I want you to tell the audience about. Give us your website, please.
Yeah, we've got a couple of things going on. First of all, we've got a new website called financedog.com.
Say it again.
Financedog.com.
Like as in the St. Bernard's, Finance Dog.
That's right.
Okay. Okay.
And on that site, we've got two things that I think your listeners will find very interesting. First, we've got a financial intelligence assessment. We just published in Harvard Business Review a forethought article on the typical U.S. manager's financial intelligence, and we have a simple multiple choice
Good for you.
Quiz and test you can take. The average score in the United States on a simple multiple choice financial basic financial concept test was 38%, Jim.
Wow.
That was the average score. And Harvard Business Review was so stunned by the score, they wanted us to do a little article on it.
Wow.
So that test is available online.
Who were your samples? What was the makeup of
our
your sample?
Our sample was companies, including finance people, of over 150 employees.
Mm-hmm.
And that was our sample, and we got a statistically valid result. Did several hundred test sample and.
I'm sorry to say, Joe. I don't like saying this. It hurts me to say this. But if you did that same survey for people with under 100 employees, especially under 100, maybe even under 100, even under 50 employees, I'm afraid your number would go down.
I think it might. And you know, one of the things we've learned, we train finance, and so we do this every day. And a lot of executives, I can't tell you how many times I've heard this. They say to me, you know, Joe, we don't need the basics because my people already understand that.
Yeah.
And we'd always say, no, they don't. So we finally developed this assessment. And we do it with our clients. You know, take this test and let's see where your people are. And nobody ever scores over 50%
wow.
of their group, even senior executives.
Well, is it a hard test?
You can look at it, Jim. It's online. You can look at the quiz. No, it's a very simple
finance,
test. Like,
financedog?
Dot com.
Finance,
right?
not financial, but finance dog.
Finance dog.
Finance dog. Okay.
financedog.com.
All right.
Now, the other thing we've done.
Is the assessment free?
Yeah, there's a free quiz, and then there's a full test that's $4.95.
Okay.
You take the free quiz and get a score.
$495?
$4.95.
$4.95. Okay, good. I'm glad we got that straight.
That's $5.
That's a heck of a deal.
Yeah, if you take the other thing we have online, Jim, is we'll tell you how you did on the test and which questions you missed, and we have little video modules you can purchase as well.
Yeah.
And we have one free module, by the way, and the free module that we have on our site right now is the difference between profit and cash,
which is the most perfect one for you to make available first for free.
Absolutely, it's the ones that small business people, every small business person should look at this. In fact, when I teach my class and I do my cash versus profit module, it's eye opening, and I tell people that if your small business owner hasn't had a chance to look at this model, they should, because this shows how you can be profitable but have no cash.
Yeah,
and so if you get online and drop down that free video module. It's about a 15-minute module. It'll explain to you and give you a real numerical example of how you can be profitable and be completely out of cash.
At financedog.com.
That's correct.
And they can find your book wherever books are sold.
Absolutely.
Can they find it at the website, at that website as well?
Yeah, it's available on the website. They can get it at Barnes & Noble, Amazon, all the normal
Financial
outlets.
Intelligence for Entrepreneurs by Karen Berman and Joe Knight. Joe is our good friend. Joe, thanks for being here. Will you come back another day?
Absolutely, Jim.
We'd love to have you back. Thanks. We'll see you next time. Joe Knight, ladies and gentlemen, he'll be back, I promise. Quick break, right back after these messages. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.